at Bon Clarkin, there is a ropes course, and it's challenging, very challenging. From the ground level, it looks a lot easier than what it really is. But the obstacle course was designed to help people build confidence in their ability to start a difficult task and then to see it through completion. At the end of the ropes course, there's a zip line, and that's a lot of fun. It brings you quickly back to ground level. Well, I did this ropes course. I did it one time, and that's all I'm going to do. And as I was doing this ropes course, I said to myself, why in the world did I choose to do something so strenuous? There were times that I thought, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to embarrass myself in front of all these people. It was much more difficult than I thought. My arms hurt. My legs cramped. I had pine sap all over my hands. And as I sweated this thing out, I began to fear for my life. But I kept my mind focused on the zip line because that was going to be a lot of fun. So I focused on the end result instead of what was temporary that I was going through. I thought, if I can just make it to the zip line, then I've got it made. Besides, there are a lot of people that have gone before me, and they made it to the zip line and came down, and they didn't break their neck. There was a great group of witnesses who had gone before me and could testify, keep going, keep pushing, persevere, you will make it. So I kept that in mind, and I made it to the zip line, and the rest was just a piece of cake. Well, in the same way, as we live the Christian life, as we journey through life here on earth, we meet with many setbacks, we meet with many doubts, we meet with many doubts as to our ability to persevere and overcome our situation. At times we are like Isaiah the prophet when he says, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God. There were times in Isaiah's life that he thought the Lord had just left him, had abandoned him. Most of us, in regard to our faith, we're a lot like Isaiah, and we are a lot like me as I was standing on the ground looking at that ropes course and thinking, this is not going to be hard at all. This is going to be a piece of cake. And as we begin to live the Christian life and continue in the Christian life, we make the mistake of thinking that the Christian life is a piece of cake, that it's not going to be difficult. We think that it's really not a strenuous activity. But we quickly find out that our presuppositions are wrong. We begin to doubt. Reality sets in that the Christian life is difficult to live. You see, people do not reject Jesus Christ because they don't want to have their sins forgiven. No, that's not why people reject Christ. People reject Christ because of his call to self-denial. People do not stop trying to live the Christian life because they don't want their sins forgiven. No, they stop trying to live the Christian life because it's just too doggone hard. If you're a Christian and you are serious about your faith, then you know what I'm talking about. Living the Christian life is a very difficult thing. And the writer to the Hebrews, he understood that. And in chapter 11, he gives us numerous examples of the Old Testament saints going through awful times trying to persevere in their faith. So what does he tell us that we need to do? Well, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the writer tells us, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, consider him. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men. Now, we read that, consider him, consider Jesus, and we kind of just really pass over it and don't give it the full weight that the Greek language gives to it. The term consider in the Greek language, it's a mathematical term. It is signifying to compute, to reason, by comparing this thing with another thing. It means to form a just and accurate estimation. In our culture, we would say we're going to compare apples to apples or apples to oranges. What the writer to the Hebrews is saying is that I want you to draw an analogy between the sufferings of Christ and your sufferings. So how do we do this? Well, he tells us several times. Consider carefully who Jesus is. Consider carefully who Jesus is. He is the great high God. He spoke into the emptiness, and there was the world. There was the universe. He spoke and brought all things into existence. The angels and the seraphim, they fall at his feet and sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, and the whole earth is full of your glory. Consider who he is. Consider the place that he took. He is the great high God. Yet what did he do? He took upon our flesh and blood. And he did not become a man in order to serve in the king's castle. No, he became a man and was a pauper. Isaiah chapter 53 even tells us that his physical appearance, by human standards, Jesus was an ugly man. There was nothing in him, nothing in his appearance that would have turned the ladies' heads and would have said, well, there goes a sharp-looking guy. There was nothing in his appearance that would have attracted anybody to him. Consider who he is, consider the place he took. And as a man consider the infinite perfection of his character and the things that he did, he cast out demons. He healed the sick. He made the blind able to see again. He made the lame to walk. Consider carefully who he is. Consider carefully the place that he took. And then consider his perfect character and his deeds. He never sinned. Word, thought, or deed, he never sinned. And then consider the ingratitude, the gross injustice, the cruel persecution that he met with. The writer to the Hebrews is telling us to calculate and estimate the consistency of the opposition that Jesus faced. You see, it is not that he suffered opposition. No. Look what it says in verse 3. He suffered such opposition. That's a key word there. It intensifies the amount of opposition that Jesus met with. Not that he faced opposition, but such opposition. It's not that he was persecuted, but he was so persecuted. There was great bitterness towards him. Maliciousness towards him. And Jesus felt this suffering in his soul and in his body, because the scriptures tell us he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Nevertheless, he did not turn from his duty. He did not set aside that which the Father had given him to do. Great athletes, they go through tremendous training, sometimes even painful and rigorous training. But only those who do so will they be the ones to capture the championship. Jesus went through such agonizing persecutions and sufferings. Yet he did not abandon his mission to do the Father's will, to not lose any of those that the Father had given to him. And then the writer of Hebrews, when he calls you to consider the sufferings of Christ, it is as if he then turns to us and says, then think. All the persecutions, all the disappointments, all the suffering that you have is in no way comparable to Jesus. And if the infinite God suffered, so much must the followers of the infinite God. The servant, as Jesus says, the servant is not above his master. If the master is persecuted, so will the servants be persecuted. If the master suffers, then those who adhere to him and follow him, they too will suffer. You know, before you attempt something, it's always wise to get counsel. If you're going to invest in something, you probably need to talk to a financial planner. If you're going to take a trip, you might want to check with those who have been there before. They can tell you what you need to do. This is what the writer of Hebrews is doing for us. He's given clarity to our life. He is saying, keep your eyes upon Jesus, because you're going to go through the same thing. Consider Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. See, this is the remedy against weariness. This is the remedy against being discouraged. It is the remedy against despair. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. You remember the story of the disciples. They were in the boat out in the water, and there was a storm going on, and they were afraid that they were going to drown. And as they looked out over the water, they saw Jesus walking on the water to them. And they were terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you. And Jesus says, come on. And so Peter began to walk on the water. And you know what happened next. Did he keep his eyes upon Jesus? No. He began to look at the wind. He began to look at the waves. And as he focused on the things of the world, he began to sink. What saved him? He changed his focus. He turned and looked back at Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy, save me. I am about to sink. And Jesus saved him. He kept him from being overcome. It is as we consider the person of Jesus Christ. It is as we consider the object of our faith. It is as when we focus upon who Christ is and what he has done, that the peace that passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds, even though we may be in a difficult situation. And that is why Paul can write to the Corinthians and say, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our struggles, though they're real and they are difficult, they are nothing compared to the struggles of Jesus Christ. Set Christ before you as the grand example and encouragement. Let us focus on his patience, his encouragement, his encouragement in the midst of affliction. The writer to the Hebrews says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What do you suppose he means by that? What he means is that as we try to live the Christian life and we are faced with difficulties and sufferings and disappointments, we've got the cheering section behind us. Cheering section of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jonah, James, Peter, Paul, all those who belong to Christ are lifting up prayers for you, cheering you on. You know, we're in the midst of football season. And so when the going gets rough and the game is almost over with And you've got to get enough yardage so that you can kick the field goal or make the touchdown. Do the fans in the stands just sit around like this and are quiet? No, what are they doing? Let's go, let's go, let's go. They're encouraging their team. The writer to the Hebrews says, we've got thousands of years of saints that are cheering you on. Just as I looked at that ropes course, and once I got in it, I began to panic. But I knew that if I could reach the zip line, had it made. The church in heaven is cheering you on because they've gone through what you are going through. They went through what you are going through, and they made it to the zip line. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the love of God, through the sovereign control, by the sovereign control of Jesus Christ in your life, they made it. And they're telling you, keep going, persevere, focus upon Christ. And you will make it. Though we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, our eye is not focused on them. No. We're not focused on the army. We're focused on the general. We're not focused upon all the servants. We're focused upon the Master. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His glorious face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His love and His grace. Let's pray. Our gracious and Heavenly Father, help us to focus upon Christ. Help us to consider Him, Heavenly Father, Him who endured such opposition, that through Your grace and strength, we may persevere in our own struggles. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship as we stand and sing 481. Hymn 481, turn your eyes upon Jesus.